Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY24 earnings call of Adani Enterprises Limited, hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Natarajan from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I welcome you all to the 3Q FY24 earnings call for Adani Enterprises. We have with us from the management team, Mr. Vinay Prakash, Director, Adani Enterprises, and CEO of Natural Resources, Mr. Robbie Singh, CFO, Mr. Saurabh Shah, Finance Controller, and Mr. Manan Vakharia from the Investor Relations. We will start with the brief opening remarks from the management, followed by the question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you.
Hi, this is Robbie, CFO of Adani Enterprises. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate your presence today as we discuss Adani Enterprises quarter three and nine months for the financial year 2024. So that you can navigate through the results easily, AEL is a flagship incubator of company of Adani portfolio. Its business can primarily be divided into two tech segments: the new and emerging businesses and the incubation portfolio. Along with its established businesses in the mining and metal space. AEL's incubation portfolio includes three major emerging and scalable core infra businesses: green hydrogen, airports, roads, under our fully owned subsidiaries, ANIL, Adani Airports, Adani Roads, respectively. While the established businesses comprising of mining services, commercial mining, IRM, and almost ready copper business. We are delighted to share that in the past nine months, our three emerging businesses demonstrated significant growth, contributing 22% to total income and 45% to overall EBITDA. Total income of these three businesses increased sharply by over 92% to 17,067 crores. Total EBITDA increased by 105% to 4,339 crores, and total profit before tax increased to 1,875 crores. The higher contribution of these emerging businesses also boosted overall profits. The nine-month EBITDA of AEL increased by 58% to 9,592 crores, while profit before tax rose by 107% to 4,318 crores. Consolidated income stood at 77,702 crores. Update on our major businesses. Adani New Industries Green Hydrogen Ecosystem. Our target of 10 GW of green hydrogen integrated manufacturing ecosystem is progressing well. We are now ready to commission India's first ingot and wafer line of 2 GW, which will go into the solar manufacturing businesses of AEL. Already established 4 GW module capacity. Just to repeat, the ingot wafer line will primarily be for the existing 4 GW of solar module line. We are also ramping up our recently commissioned wind manufacturing. We produce 15 sets and have an order book of 142 sets. ANIL has received the letter of award from Solar Energy Corporation of India for setting up annual electrolyzer manufacturing capacity of 198.5 MW. Airports portfolio. During the quarter, 19 new routes, 9 new airlines, and 5 new flights added across all 7 operational airports. Passenger movement at our airports increased 23% to 65.7 million, and now tracking an annual number of over 85 million. Greenfield Navi Mumbai project is on track for completion in December this year. Phase one of the city side development is commencing across 98 acres of land at the five airports. Finally, in our road portfolio, 4 out of the 10 projects are now more than 60% complete and in line with the target schedule. Last but not the least, ESG is integral to our core plan and is embedded in our decision-making. I'm glad to share that airports have been honored with Environmental Excellence Awards in 2023 for their strong commitments to sustainability and outstanding practices in ESG. With this, I hand over to my colleague Vinay to take you through the highlights of the primary industry portfolio. Vinay.
Thanks, Ravi. As far as mining services is concerned, Adani Enterprises Limited is the pioneer of MDO concept in India with an integrated business model that spans across developing mine as well as the entire upstream and downstream activities. It provides the full service range, right from seeking various approvals, land acquisition, INR, developing required infrastructure, mining, beneficiation, and transportation to designated consumption points. The company is MDO for 8 core blocks and 1 iron ore blocks. These projects are located in the state of Chhattisgarh, Madhya Pradesh, and Odisha. The company has serviced its contract and the quantities delivered during the quarter were as per the schedule. During the 9 months, the revenue for mining services was up by 5% to Rs. 1611 crores and EBITDA was up by 4% to Rs. 633 crores. Iron business, integrated resource management. In iron business, we have continued to develop business relationship with diversified customers across various end-user industries. We remain number one player in India and endeavor to maintain this leadership position going forward. The volume during quarter 3 FY24 increased by 31% to 20.8 million metric ton. The EBITDA for 9 months increased by 21% to Rs. 3526 crores on account of improved relation on year-on-year basis. Commercial mining. Under the commercial mining, we have Carmichael mine in Australia. Their production increased from by 46% to 8.3 million metric ton, and the shipment increased by 62% to 8.1 million metric ton during 9 months of FY24. The company is also having 7 domestic commercial mine blocks. These projects are in the state of Maharashtra, Chhattisgarh, MP, Jharkhand, and Odisha. In terms of our primary industry incubation, the physical progress of copper project is more than 75%, and it is expected to achieve commercial production in March 2024. We'll be open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pratik from Jefferies. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir, and congrats for great set of results. My question is on airport business. So how have we seen, last quarter was particularly benefiting from various events, including World Cup and some of the other events which happened also in Gujarat, the business events. So how is that benefiting the airports in respective cities and particularly both on aero side in terms of passenger and non-aero side also in terms of spend per passenger, is there any uptick which is seen or on these respective airports?
Hi Pratik, thank you for your question. We do not account for any events as a special numbers, neither do we track those things because we don't believe fundamentally that's the correct way to look at our business. It's a consumer business. And therefore, our objective always remains on the long-term cross and rate of the both the packs and the non-packs. And I think it would not be correct to specifically look at events. Events can have an impact on a quarter, but over a period of our forecast horizon, they do not contribute to the fundamental analytics other than meeting the operational requirements of heavy traffic over that 2 or 3 day period.
Sure. Okay. Also, the traffic growth, how do you see like traffic growth for the next year? Like passenger traffic growth, like domestic numbers have seen some moderation, like what is reported by DGCA. How do you see the traffic growth going forward in the business for the next year? And how do we see like the commissioning of Navi Mumbai Airport? As you said, it's on time in December 24. So how do you see like the combined growth for Navi Mumbai and Mumbai Airport over coming to 2 to 3 years?
Yeah. So see, we don't look at traffic numbers aside from, you know, obviously listing and reporting requirements on a yearly basis. Where we underlying is that there's no, you don't look at traffic per se. What we underlying look at is the per capita journeys by the aggregate Indian population. So currently per capita journey by Indian aggregate is 0.1 per capita, which is on aggregate basis, one journey every 10 years. We believe that number will rise to at least 0.6 or higher by 2032-33 the next 10-year period. It can vary, but overall that signifies a 6x jump in the overall passenger traffic of India over this period. It is also, we also track underlying movement of what are in terms of orders. So fleet orders will fleet orders indicate that 700 planes that are in the Indian civil aviation fleet will rise to 3,000 by 2030. So even the fleet are forecasting a 4x rise on the current numbers by 2030. And so therefore that is how, because CapEx cycle of airports, be it on the land side, be it on the terminal side, be it on the air side, is a 2 to 5 year plan. So our planning always is based on how we see the airports end up in 2033-35 rather than next year, because that's how the CapEx cycle depends. So we believe that India is poised for a 6x, somewhere between 4 to 6x rise in the airport based on the two indicative factors. And therefore, the quarterly or 6 monthly or yearly moderation in numbers do not change the investment planning in airports over the next 10 years. And any specific variations that might occur due to weather events, due to any short-term economic events, are not reflective of the underlying trend in the Indian aviation.
Thank you. And this last question on airport. So there was this recent favorable order win from AAI regarding post-major event during COVID at our Mumbai airport. What is the compensation do we expect as a reimbursement, and when do we expect this payment with us, like with relating to this order?
So effectively speaking, the order where with what we had already provided for, other than that number, we will receive 1238, so 1,238 crores. In terms that's a recoverable, and we in terms of the recovery period, etc., we will go through later once that is clear.
Sure. I'll get back to the pre-com questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, sir. So first on the coal trading. So the numbers have been very, very, very high in this particular quarter. Can you please comment on this? And because the EBITDA per ton, I think it's around 700 rupees per ton compared to what we achieved in the last few, I think last 10, 12 quarters, numbers are below 500 rupees per ton. Is there something extraordinary there?
Yeah, in fact, it had happened because of some decision which went well over and above our servicing this industry. We have a very high market share in India, and considering that we are there in the complete supply chain, and the market did corrected in last 6-8 months, which is visible in the revenue part. Since market was correcting and we were holding the orders, we got benefited because of our low sourcing cost, the purchase cost, which is getting reflected in the results.
Understood. My second question on car maker mines, is it possible to spell the to details of the revenue and EBITDA for this particular quarter? Of course, I have the EBIT number, which is 274 crore. If you can just record the EBITDA number, it will help for you.
I'm not having that number handy with me.
Sure, sir.
Do you have the number handy with you?
Just a second. About 1,020 crores is the number.
For 9 months or for the quarter?
For 9 months.
Understood. On the coal mining front, sir, I think we're targeting 40 million ton a few years back. And I think we're still struggling at 28 million ton. Is there any issue with the ramping of the coal product, coal mining, and what is the expected run rate which you can achieve in FY25?
So we are on our target of achieving 40 million tons in FY25. I don't say we are struggling. We were expecting some approvals to come in time, which, when we speak about the mining in India, it's a very lengthy and a complicated process through which you have to go and get all the permission before starting a mine. So we were expecting some permissions in FY24, which got a little delayed. But now we have all the permission, and I'm confident that target of 40 million in FY25 is going to be likely there.
On the solar manufacturing, I think we are already at 4 gigawatt, if I'm not wrong, and our production has been last year produced over 1.2 gigawatt, and this year we may end up 2.4 gigawatt. Can you see the run rate going to 4 gigawatt, 100% capacity utilized in FY25? And if you can comment something on the markets, are we exporting? How much is export in this 638 megawatt which is sold in this particular quarter?
Yes, we expect to broadly achieve production run rate reflective of the 4 gigawatt capacity. And the exports in terms of the module sales are now out of the 1,882 crores exports, megawatt, exports are 1,232 megawatt.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Brett from Cantor Fitzgerald. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my question and congrats on the results. I guess my first question was really on some of the established business profit margins. I think if you're looking at those kind of profits before tax margins, especially in IRM, it remained very strong for another quarter. Can you maybe help us understand the reasons for that improvement relative to history, where it's always kind of been like a 2-3% a margin business?
Vinay, can we please address the margin uptick? You addressed before, but can you address for Cantor again, please? Thank you.
Yeah. So, let us discuss about this copper, this iron business. In iron business, you're basically importing coal from various countries mainly Australia, Indonesia, Russia, Indonesia, US, and South Africa, and you're selling in Indian market. The international market, which has gone up to $400 on a Newcastle, which is a standard product, has come down drastically in last 1 year to now at $120 level. We were holding certain orders in hand, and seeing that the market is getting corrected, we hold our purchase back and we delay the purchase, basis which we got extra margin over the normal margin which normally we get being in the service industry.
Perfect. Thank you for that. And then maybe on more so on the incubating side, and forgive me if I missed, if you have already discussed this, but on the solar manufacturing and wind manufacturing capacity, I guess how quickly do you expect to ramp up the solar manufacturing capacity over the next year or 2 years? And for the electrolyzer, am I right in thinking that that would be commercialized, I guess, within fiscal year 2026?
I think on the solar modules, we are pretty much on track for the full capacity of 4 gigawatt over the next 12 months. And on electrolyzers, yes, you're correct. It's 2026. And the WinTech is continuing, and we are pretty much on the 1.5 gigawatt, and it's producing at that level already.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Dhananjay Mishra from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Sir, what is the overall CapEx plan for this year or what will be the next year across the segment? Hello?
Yeah, I think for this year, the total CapEx plan across AEL's ecosystem will be approximately 33,600 crores. And we expect next year for it to jump to approximately 92,000 crores. The jump in this 60,000 crore jump is driven by a 50-odd thousand crore jump in Adani New Industries and a 10,000 crore jump in airports. Everything else will be pretty much at the run rate level.
So Adani New Industries largely will be in solar segment or it will be in solar segment?
It is across its segments. Green hydrogen will be about 6,000. Downstream will be about 6,000. Solar and wind power generation will take the maximum about 30,000. And the various elements, ingot wafer, 600, the module and cell lines, 3,000. Wind tech, about 1,000. So it's across the board.
In terms of electrolyzer capacity, how are we placed in terms of doing some tie-up or some whatever technological thing we are expecting. So where are we placed right now?
I think for all technology development, we are pretty much set already. There is no further new tie-up. Other ongoing work continues on various matters, but the WinTech, the ingot wafer, the electrolyzer, all the fundamental tie-ups are complete in technology. We're not anticipating anything new in that area.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from Ask Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi. Robbie, just one thing on the airport business. While Indian air traffic may grow 4 to 6 times, is quite conceivable given all the fundamental strategic changes which are happening in the activity, and the way government is kind of building a strong ecosystem around the air traffic activity. But given the kind of airports that we have got, and then adding, of course, a significant addition from Navi Mumbai Airport, it's not easy to understand how our airport portfolio can achieve that 5 or 6 time kind of growth in the decade which is upcoming.
See, our own airport capex plan, as we've outlined before, itself will take our capacity to 250 million. So straight off, with 3x growth will happen in the existing airports themselves. And then, as the further privatization takes place across the airport portfolio, that will add to this growth. So as far as we look at the investment plan across the airports, we are solidly of the opinion that we will be, in fact, comfortably be breaching and growing faster than India in our airport portfolio, like we have done in our ports business, which has grown consistently above the Indian cargo despite its market share. We have definitive plan. We have a unique business model in the context of India. And therefore, we believe that not only is the passenger growth we will capture, we will also capture the gross spend rate of the non-PACs also. So it is not 100% on the air side where there is a direct income impact of the passenger movement, air movement, will be less than 35% of the total Adani Airport's EBITDA. 65% will come from non-PACs and non-aircraft movements and non-air side. Therefore, the bigger focus remains on the servicing of the non-PACs and or passengers prior to they entering the airport. And that number we anticipate will be at least 2 to 3 times the passenger number anyways. So there are two parts to your question. One is on the air side, are we prepared? Yes, we have already prepared. Our capex plan already takes care of the 240 million capacity. Secondly, are we prepared for future growth in relation to building our airport platform further with the participation in the privatization? Answer to that is yes, we are prepared, and it's part of our investment plan already. And third, are we prepared to access, which is a bigger thing, which is in EBITDA terms, 65% of EBITDA comes from gross spend rate outside of the terminals, outside of the airside, landing fees, etc., regulatory income. Are we prepared to do that? Yes, as we have outlined in my opening commentary, our main focus is on the city side developments. And that capex actually is accelerated, and we will complete that by first phase by 26-27.
So essentially, Robbie, what you are saying is we are viewing that airport and aviation activity really from a larger perspective of non-PEX revenue, and it is not the PEX movement or traffic growth, but overall revenue growth to be derived from the aviation activity, which is where we'll score well above where the industry would be. And in that journey, almost two-thirds would come from non-PEX or relatively less capital intensive activity, and only a third of that revenue would be more like from the PEX. The character of our aviation efforts would be less capital intensive and non-PEX driven activity, where total growth rate without even counting acquisition that we may get on the way, overall will outgrow the industry revenue growth.
Correct. And I think I'll just clarify so there's no misunderstanding. The air movement growth is reflected in the airside charges. And if you, so we anticipate that whilst we will benefit from air movement and therefore airside charges, but the objective always remains to provide the best experience to anybody who interacts with the airport space. Now, whether that is city dwellers who actually are not the passengers, or people who are non-PAX but are related to them, either they are bringing the passengers in, it could be service providers like Uber, Ola, etc., taxis, etc., or family members coming with the person to the airport, and the person's experience within the airport. And also, airport has very large permanent staff also. The amenities for the staff, their ability to be able to exercise some of their consumer spend within the precinct. So it goes into what is called the rental retail mix models that you run for the type of consumer you have at the airport. So the passenger movement helps in relation to the ability in relation to the passengers and people who bring the passengers or are come with the passenger to the airport. Whereas the city side and all development are actually independent of this number. They are actually reflective of the overall general growth in the spend capacity of the Indian consumer, which itself is rising very fast. So you are benefiting not just from the air movement, you are also benefiting from the overall capacity of the Indian consumer to spend. So there are two things moving. So the question always becomes, are you able to capture the two things? And this is what the business strategy of the airport is for us, to be able to capture two different things. So I would add to your question and say that the reason why the revenue growth and the EBITDA growth will be faster is because we'll capture the non-PAX improvement in the spending pattern of the Indian consumer also.
Right, which is exactly what I was trying to convey. But on that, if I had to put a little critical note, you see, across the entire portfolio of Adani Airports, I've been traveling one or the other place constantly. Almost in a month, I would be taking several flights, including the Adani portfolio of the airports. I'm also familiar with the fact that non-PEG's overall customer wallet through the experience and services and additionality will mean a less capital intensive way of extracting more profits from that traveler. But in actual experience, while, for example, I recently went to Mangalore Airport, and I definitely believe that it has materially improved compared to what it used to be earlier. I mean, there is no comparison between the two, what it was then and now. But in many other airports, that actual experience where you feel material difference compared to the earlier service package, while there is improvement without any doubt, whether it is really quantum jump, I would like to put a question mark on that.
I think I'll take that as a comment, and I'll convey that to the airport leadership team that a particular comment of that nature comes. But I think what we do need to, which I will want to say, what we do need to understand is that this is a 50-year business which had to be set for achieving what it needs to achieve in 2033-35 period. It is not being set to achieve what we can achieve today. So if you are wanting to do something for today, yes, it can be done very quickly. But the aim becomes that if you look at if you look at the parts that we would want to look, we would want to check because of passengers and safety, because it's safety first. So if you say, if you look at the benchmarks in relation to security check and queues, then virtually, like, if whether you look at Trivandrum, whether you look at Guwahati, whether you look at Jaipur, whether you look at Mumbai, whether you look at Ahmedabad, Lucknow Airport, we are much ahead of where the benchmark is. Then the comes from immigration point of view. That also we track very carefully. And broadly, all airports are way ahead of the benchmark. The other part is that a lot of people do travel by car to the airport. And what is the car parking experience? And then finally, the check-in. So in these areas, these four critical areas of passenger experience, which relate to one, to security and therefore safety and all. Second, to integrative work environment, which is immigration is not in our control. Check-in is the security queue is the integrative working, be it with the CIF, be it with the immigration officials, all of that is working well. So we check this, and then everything else is designed for the longer term experience. In terms of where we believe what it will look like when our capacities are set up for 240 million packs. And that is actually a gestation issue. And as we go through this, you will start noticing from the non-passengers will start noticing from 26, 27 onwards the change, because their interactions will change. And the passenger and passengers, people accompanying the passengers, they will certainly start noticing from about 2026 onwards, the material marked changes in the experience. Now, what you refer to is you are also a business passenger, and the specific experience related to business passengers and how they move, and what their movement pattern are at the airport, that will also go a marked change as all the other services are brought into line with global standards over the next 3 to 5 years. That's why we will wait for the demerger of this business till it achieves all these benchmarks. That's why we flagged that event between 3 to 5 years from now.
Sure. No, thanks. One last thing, Robbie. On our IRM business, which is critically dependent upon feeding India's growing energy needs and therefore sourcing efficient collating and distributing that commodity. But increasingly, the picture that you get from policy perspective is that coal remains one of the important items in the import bill of India. And like all the import items of India are receiving critical attention to how to minimize or reduce or in fact substitute them by export rather than import. The policy thrust appears to be that at some stage imported coal may look to be a thing of the past or materially a thing of the past. How does it affect our IRM business if this were to transpire?
Shall I take it?
Please, Vin.
Yeah, so when we speak about the IRM business, I think first of all we need to understand that we are in this business for last now 25 years. And in last 25 years, we have actually created a sort of specialization in moving coal from X mine to shipping, to port, to handling rakes and road and everything. So it is not going to be only the imported coal. You import from other countries and give it to Indian customer. It is also going to remain a service function for us where we are doing a lot of RSR movements also. Now, as far as import is concerned, in India, even though the target has been set to make import zero long back, but on an actual basis, on a practical basis, it is not going to be zero anytime in the future also for two reasons. One, the first reason is that considering that the Indian coal is having a high ash, you need to import coal of low ash to blend and run your power plants, which are designed at a lower ash. Secondly, there are a lot of coastal-based power plants which are actually designed for low ash only. You talk about Tata, you talk about many plants of NTPC, many plants of private sector, they are designed for low ash. And number third, for the power plants which are actually very near to the coastal belt, it is always going to be a difference between the rail freight which or road freight which they are going to have from the hinterland of country to their place, getting compared with the ocean freight and handling from Indonesia, Australia and South Africa. And if your prices are good in international market, right in international market, you'll always find that imported coal are going to be competitive. So if you ask us, we are very clear that even next 5 year, 10 year, 15 year down the line, the market, import coal market will remain in excess of 150, 160 million tons.
Now, thank you. That's very helpful. Thank you. I have one more question, but I'll wait in the queue.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity once again. So my only one question, one clarification. You're talking about 50,000 crore in new industries and clean hydrogen is a significant part. And is it fair to say that we are looking at targeting 0.3 to 0.4 million ton per annum capacity? Is it possible to also tell us that, you know, are we looking to export green ammonia? Is that a fair assessment?
I think overall we'll come with a much more detailed outlook on this but towards September of this year. But the aim of our first phase itself is 1 million ton. It will happen in a modular way, but we do not have a sub that scale plan. With 1 million ton and then going up to 3 million tons is what we've always announced, and it remains that way. We will detail out some of the planning in regards to downstream products, whether we stop at ammonia or it will go further to fertilizers, etc.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Prateek from Jefferies. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again, sir. You gave this overall capex going from 34,000 crore to 92,000 crore. Can you give like business-wise capex for these 2 years for the company? I mean, you told about 50,000 for ANIL for next year, but what is the business-wise capex, let's say, for maybe top five segments in FY24 and 25?
Our main capex is in green hydrogen and airports, which of the 90,000, which is practically nearly 80% of that, just goes into these two segments, airports and green hydrogen. And we have rest is the roads will have sort of the same capex around this year, which is about 10,000 crores. Everything else is about 6,000 crores. So three big segments are infra, incubating assets.
Okay. And on your solar module segment, do we have like what do we see as like FY25 end capacity for solar modules and wind tech segment? I know electrolyzer is expected in FY26 only, but what would be the year end capacity of FY25 for solar module and wind tech?
4.5 and 1.5 respectively. Gigawatt.
Okay, so the 10 gigawatt will be scaled to only in FY26, even for solar.
On. Yes.
And your margins in solar segment has remained very strong this quarter, maybe stronger than past quarters. So there have been recent sharp decline in module prices over past 1 or 2-3 months. Is this started to reflect in your business contracts or your customers are totally different and not getting impacted? Because you also have like 70% export and 30% domestic just in this quarter. So how is
I think Prateek, one thing, we are infra, huh? So this, our solar is Adani new industry ecosystem. You know, if we have absolutely nothing we can say or share what happens in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, prices changing, going up and down, because nobody builds infra on 2 to 3 month basis. So it's not that our customers are indifferent. On the customers on the other side are infra companies. They are supplying either renewable power or they might be in India or overseas. So they are looking at their renewable green electron cost over the next 5 years, 20 years, 25 years. So if they start timing and building based on timing, nothing will happen only. So what people look at is the reliability. So it is very, very, this is not a manufacturing business. This is an input business into energy extraction. And the target of the customers and our own target is the minimization of the energy extraction cost on a long run basis. And so neither do we track these up and down movements on a daily basis, nor on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis. What we are targeting is how can we extract the cheapest green electron over the longer term to remain within the first quartile cost of extraction of the green electron. And that, I suspect, is also the view of the majority of our client base also within that business.
Okay. So, sir, these are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Brett from Cantor Fitzgerald. Please go ahead, sir.
All right, thanks for taking another one of my questions. On the wind turbine generator manufacturing, I know that kind of became commercial last quarter. I was just curious if there was any income from that part of the new energy ecosystem in the quarter. If so, how much? If not, I guess when would you expect that to begin to ramp up to materially start contributing to financials? Thank you.
If I understand the question correctly, Brett, the question was that when would the energy element of the new energy business contribute to financials?
Yes, the wind turbine part of that.
So we expect the wind tech in the context of Anil, the numbers will start showing this year, in the next financial year, actually, to March 25. Not in this quarter, but in over the next 12 months, the numbers will be visible of the wind tech.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from Ask Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
No, that was pertaining to Anil, and in subsequently what you answered, I heard what I wanted to. So thank you.
As there are no further questions, I will now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Now, we thank all those who asked the question, all those who joined. Thank you so much. And we also take the opportunity to thank Rohit and Antique team for organizing the call. If there are any further questions, you can always feel free to reach out to Manan and team, and they will answer in writing. Thank you so much.
On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.